Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up later on this hour, Tennessee Titans running back Derrick Henry. We had Daniel Jeremiah on in hour number one. NFL draft finally getting here this evening in Nashville. We are just hours off. And right now we are efforting Damian Lillard. Meantime, telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. You can follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. And you also can shoot me an email if you want, Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. But, as I mentioned, we are joined right now by an all-NBA first-teamer, a guard for the Portland Trailblazers, a four-time All-Star. He had a career playoff high, 50 points, including that game winner and series winner on Tuesday night. A franchise record 10 threes in that game. The Blazers advance. They move on to the Western Conference semifinals. Damian Lillard is our guest. Damian, it's so good to have you back. How are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Good, good. So, Damian, have you seen the shot since the game? And if you have, what do you think when you watch it?
Yeah, I have seen it. It was just crazy because during the game, I felt like it was going to come down to something like that. Just like the one possession, I knew it was going to have to dig deeper to try to figure out a way to win the game. You know, I knew it was going to be that type of thing. And to see it end that way after already having an experience like that, after having an experience like that once before, it was just like, it was deja vu. You know, it was just a crazy feeling to be back in that same exact position again.
Damian Lillard, my guest. You know, I'm not sure what's more amazing, the shot, the wave, or the look into the camera when you were being mobbed, and then the post-game interview on the court. I mean, you really weren't freaking out at all. It was like scoring 50 and sending OKC packing on the final shot of the game. It was no big deal whatsoever. How were you so calm in that moment?
I mean, it was a big deal. It was a big deal. I don't want to play it off like I was too cool for that moment because it was a big moment. You know, obviously, after our past two postseasons, all the back and forth between the two teams in the entire series, and you know, then for it to happen in that fashion, you know, so I was excited about it. But I think even in my highest moments, I'm pretty composed. You know, I'm never too outside of myself, and it was just a great feeling, man. You know, to be able to have 50 in the closeout game, hit the game winner, mobbed by the team, and then the camera was just happened to be right there, and I just kind of looked up like, oh, camera right here. So, I mean, it was a great feeling. I was excited. I don't want to play it off like I wasn't excited, but I mean, that's just more of a typical look for me to look like I'm not excited, but I usually am on the inside.
Damian Lillard joining us. You know, in terms of that, like, obviously, it was a huge moment, and I know you just acknowledge it. You and I have talked in the past about your approach to the game, so there's no doubting your passion and your desire to win, but at the same time, you may not always show that on the outside. How much of that is about being the unemotional, reserved, calm, detached warrior, quote-unquote, in the middle of that chaos?
I think that stuff is important. That stuff is important, just because to have that type of mentality and that type of approach, you got to train yourself for that, not just physically but mentally. And I think when you truly do those things, and it's an inner confidence, it's something that you're just sure of in your mind and in your heart. So, you know, when it happens on the inside, you're like, yeah, I'll prepare for this. You know, it's almost like you're talking to yourself in that way instead of being excited because you're being validated by everybody on the outside. You know what I mean? It's just everybody's witnessing it. And, you know, typically you will be so excited and that people are watching you do something so crazy. But for me, a lot of times I know what went into it. So on the inside, I'm like, yes, like I got the result that I basically invested in, you know, to get. And that's the feeling that I like the most, you know, is knowing that I did the stuff to put myself in that position and then it actually coming to life and having it. So that's more what it is. It's not that I'm not excited, because I am. It's just that on the inside, it's a different thing, you know.
Damian Lillard joins us. We're talking about the Blazers advancing. You know, from the outside, it seemed like Russell Westbrook thought that he was in a personal battle with you. Were you in a personal battle with him?
No, I wasn't. I think it was a personal battle, just from the standpoint of, look, we both the leaders of our team. We both all-star point guards. We both super competitive. And we knew that, you know, who each team was going to go as we went. You know, his team is going to go as he goes, and my team is going to go as I go. And whoever can outplay the others is going to have the greater chance to advance. So I think it was personal in that way. But I think the media and, you know, people outside of the actual situation have made it into more of a me versus him thing than it actually is. Obviously, we're going to battle it out. We both got strong personalities and a lot of pride and competitive. So, I mean, you're going to get what you got, but it's actually no issue there, you know? I think I just didn't really like how they tried to make it seem like there was a real issue between us, and me and Russ is cool, you know? Me and Russ, off the court, we actually are cool. And it's just that this is our career, and both of our season was on the line. A lot was on the line, and we had to battle it out. And, you know, that was it.
Damian Lillard joins us. So, Damian, my guy Chris Haynes, I thought had a great piece for Yahoo. And one of the things that he said in it was, quote, he had you quoted as saying, I'm not out here to prove to these dudes that I'm the hardest mother bleeper in the league because they cussed at me on the court, but they know where I'm from. They know what I'm about. This is Oakland, but I don't take my bleep personal. My goal is just to get the win, end quote. So my question is, how do you get that balance between showing where you're from and what you're about, but not taking that bleep personally?
I think you don't take it personal, because on the court, people say a lot of things. Just, you know, when you're passionate about it and emotional about the game, sometimes you just say things out of, you know, in that state of mind that you don't really mean. And it's competitive. Some people say stuff just to get in your head or just to irritate you or frustrate you. So I never take what's being said personal on the court. You know, like I said, guys say things out of emotion, say things in the moment, stuff like that. But I don't think I've ever given people the vibe of somebody that's going, you know, that's going to front and that's going to start nothing and, you know, try to play tough and all that stuff. But, you know, we know, like, players around the league, we know about each other. You know people's backgrounds and where they're from and stuff like that. And I don't think being from Oakland just makes me the hardest person in the world. But I come from a place where you have to be tough. You have to be fearless, and you get challenged and tested, you know, just growing up where I grew up. So there's no fear there. There's no worry. When I'm playing basketball, I'm focused on basketball and winning the game. I'm not focused on trying to prove how tough or ain't nobody going to say this to me or that to me. You know, that's not my focus. So that was kind of what I meant. Like, you know, anybody on the court, they just say what they want. And if it ever came a time where like my manhood was challenged or something like that, then, you know, they would have to prove it to me. But I don't think it's ever come to that. You know, I don't want it to sound that way. I'm just saying I'm just not going. That's not my focus on what somebody is saying to me or feeling disrespected by what they're saying, because I know how people get during games, and you know that's it.
Damian Lillard is joining us once again. You know, Haynes also had this story about how you had some people at your house Monday night to watch the Houston-Utah game. And at one point you said, quote, I'm getting rid of these mother bleepers tomorrow. Also, another great quote, I thought. Yeah. What did you feel and know that made you say that in that moment?
I mean, I was just watching a game. Houston had a chance to sweep, you know, and I knew it was going to be hard for them because they were on the road trying to close out the series. In Utah, they play really well at home, great crowd. And they just had to, like, I knew anytime you're in an elimination game, you got to dig a little bit deeper, you know, because the team is going to go out fighting. You know, they want their season to continue. They leave it all out there for that game, so that's usually the hardest one. And it just made something click in my mind where I was like, tomorrow's going to be one of those games where I'm going to have to really, you know, put my will out there and try to will the team, and I'm going to have to really dig deep. You know, our group is going to have to really dig deep and go through something. You know, it's going to be a tough battle. And if we answer that call and we're willing to dig deep and do whatever it takes, we're going to come out on top in the end. And I think that actually came. You know, it came where we were down 15 in the fourth, and we just kept fighting. You know, that was the adversity that night that we had to go through to get it done, and we fought through it. And we get to the end of the game, and boom, you know, it was our moment. And it was something there that we had to fight through. So I was just like, this is supposed to be the end of the series. You know, 3-1, we could finish it at home. We can get some rest based on what the other series we'll be playing if we win is. We got to get this done. So at that moment, I kind of just made up my mind, like, this is what needs to happen.
We're talking to Damian Lillard, locked in. You know, you mentioned exerting your will. You talk about going through stuff. If you look at the big picture, if we go back a year, the season obviously did not end the way that anybody would have liked. And as a team and an organization, right, there's not only soul searching, but you could have fallen apart, but that didn't happen. And you've gotten a lot of credit for helping keep that whole thing together. As a leader, how did you go about leading in the aftermath of the last year?
I mean, it wasn't just me. You know, I think it takes a group to keep a group together, because there's always people that can be like, yeah, that sounds cool, but I ain't buying it, you know? So I think our team, you know, our entire group has done a great job, even our coaches and our training staff and the guys in the video room. Everybody's kind of just kept their head down and just kept working. But I think for me, it was just about, okay, you know, if they want to say all this stuff about us, when I do something great, you know, when I hit a game winner, like last game, they're giving me all this credit. You know, everybody wants to sing praises and all that stuff. And, you know, I accept that part of it. So once we got swept and everybody had bad stuff to say about us, I just said, I'm going to accept responsibility and I'm going to take as much blame as I can. You know, like every opportunity I get, I'm going to put it on myself. So my teammates don't have to, you know, I want to take them off the hook so they know that I'm willing to take the blame. I'm willing to bite the bullet or whatever. And then when I do that now, whatever I do going forward, you know, they'll respect it. And they'll be more willing to follow suit and trust and believe in that going forward. And for me, I said, all right, I'm accepted. I'm going to embrace what happened and the challenge and all that stuff. And going forward, I'm going to work harder. I'm going to be better. I'm going to be sharper. And I just felt like when you go through stuff like that, and we got good people in our team, we got a good culture, we got a good staff, we do things the right way consistently. And when you go through something like that, that means it was just your turn to experience that. And if you work through it and do what you're supposed to do, when stuff like that hits, I feel like it's a reward for you at the end. And I think right now we just starting to see the beginning of what our reward for continuing to trust what we've done and staying together and continuing to work.
So because of all that, you go through that. It's part of the process. It was your turn to go through that. You're better for it.
Exactly.
Do you feel like you personally, Damian, I'm making it about yourself for 1 minute before you go. Do you feel like you've reached a new level of mastery in your game?
I do. You know, I think I'm always trying to find ways to, like, how can I improve? You know, looking in the mirror and just trying to really look at things that I say, okay, you may not want to admit it to yourself or whatever, but you could do this better. You could do that better. You know, that's been my route to improving over my career. And, you know, now you reached a level where last year I made my third All-Star game, and now I'm saying, what can I do? And last summer I decided, you know, okay, the guy that I trained with, Phil Beckner, I'm just going to hire him permanently to, you know, where I can use him during the season, year-round. I can just, you know, stay sharp, don't have as many ups and downs in the season, so where I'm just staying sharp. So, I mean, I think that was the biggest thing I did to keep myself moving up, you know, to keep getting better and going to the next level. And me and him, we working together during the week, during the regular season. He'll come to Portland for 2 weeks and we working out. And then me and our strength coach, Ben Kenyon, our routine, everything has been consistent, and we've done it on a different schedule than I've done it any other year in my career. So I think that's really propelled me to, like, a new level, just because of the details, the small stuff that I'm working on, the time that I'm putting on. It's not always a super hard workout, but it's really detailed and sharp. And then the body maintenance stuff, staying healthy, staying strong, staying explosive, staying fresh, staying rested, active recovery, all those types of things. I've done those things at a much different level this season consistently, and I think it's really showing in my game.
So finally then, Damon, hearing all that, and you've had a couple of walk-off playoff series winning shots, when you lay your process out like that, when you talk about the work you've done, the fact that you have this presence in key moments, how much of that is something you're born with, and how much of that is something you train for?
I think a lot of it is training for it, because I can't speak for everybody, but my confidence in the shots I take and the stuff that I do on the court comes from me knowing that I put the time in and me being comfortable in it because I've done it over and over and over. I think in the other part is just my upbringing. You know, I grew up in a family and around like a bunch of cousins and in a neighborhood around a bunch of people where you had to be able to hold your own, and you had to be in a group of kids where you're getting clowned on, and you at the park where you got to be able to play basketball, football, and baseball. You got to be able to defend yourself and all that stuff. So I think it just develops toughness and confidence. Just good preparation, you know, almost like that survival of the fittest type of thing where, you know, if you could survive in that type of environment I grew up in, you need to be able to survive anywhere. You should be comfortable and confident anywhere. And that's how I feel about stuff I do on the court. Like when I get in a situation, I feel confident in it. And then you add that with the time and the reps that I put in and the confidence you get from that and the comfort you get from that, I think that's the result that you get. You just, those situations, you're just able to rise up to it because you're not afraid to fail. You're not afraid to, I guess, be ridiculed and talked about if you fail. And if you handle it right, it's kind of what you expected. Or if you're successful in that situation, it's what you expected. So I don't think nobody's born with it. I think it's developed.
Damian Lillard, my guest. Oh, man, you and I have had some really, really amazing conversations over the years. But I'm going to say right now, never one quite like that. I appreciate you. I really appreciate you making yourself accessible today, Damian. That was an amazing game to watch. And I know you've got some unfinished business, but really good to get caught up. And thanks for making time for us. I appreciate you.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
That was great, Damian. Thank you so much. Damian Lillard, that was an incredible conversation. My thanks to Dame Dalla and the Trailblazers, who remain an all-time jungle team. And that was an all-time win. Blazer fans, I'm going to open it up to you once again. Your guy knocked down that shot from about 40 feet out. And the second he let it fly, he knew it was in. And then when he shows up like that, and you can kind of hear him take you through the shot, his process, his mindset, man, I couldn't be more impressed. Not at all surprised. That's Damian Lillard. Like I said, you'd be hard-pressed to find a cooler guy than that right now. On the big stage especially. That ran long. Damian, thanks for spending so much time with us. We will get out, come right back. Short segment on the other end, but I want your reaction to it. Derrick Henry coming up at 40 past. And I definitely want your reaction to the interview. I thought that was an all-timer. My thanks to Damian Lillard. Clones, if we had to sum up what this show is all about, I'm going to say it comes down to one single word. Performance. Now, you, unlike superstar athletes, are trying to clutch up in everyday life. You've got your own things that you got to focus on, whether it's an important meeting, a business trip, or maybe you're battling that afternoon crash. Sometimes you need a boost, but you want an alternative to coffee or sugary energy drinks. Now, I discovered something that's going to help you take your game to the next level. It is called Dawn to Dusk. It's by Brickhouse Nutrition. Dawn to Dusk was designed by doctors to be a healthier, more effective alternative to old-fashioned energy supplements. It's got as little caffeine as a single cup of coffee, but Dawn to Dusk can provide up to 10 hours of clean energy. It heightens your focus. It even improves your mood. And unlike coffee and energy drinks, there are no jitters or crash, only clean energy and focus with no calories or sugar. Go to BrickHouseRome.com. Get 15% off your first order with the offer code ROME. 100% satisfaction guaranteed. You've got nothing to lose, everything to gain. BrickHouseRome.com. BrickHouseRome.com. Use the code name ROME. Get 15% off. BrickHouseRome.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
That was such an amazing interview. That was an amazing conversation. Damian Lillard is such a great player and such a great leader. He is so engaging, so thoughtful. And the fact that he kind of let us into his mindset, his thought process. God, that is amazing on so many different levels. And the way he deflects the way he wanted to take all the blame when they went down the way they went down in the postseason. I mean, they're a reflection of him, obviously. But when you hear an interview like that, a conversation like that, you can see why they didn't fall apart after what happened last season when nearly any other team would have, when you hear a guy like that. And the thing is, we didn't get into this. He didn't just want to get back to the postseason and win in the postseason. He wanted to get back and beat a team that nobody thought that they could beat. And that's exactly what they did. They beat a team that swept them in the regular season. And they beat a team that swept them in the regular season. And they did so without Nurk. So nobody thought they were going to win that series. And they did. And not only won, but stomped OKC out. That is an incredible conversation. At one silly blonde girl tweets, who is a better human, leader, and basketball player than Damian Lillard? I have to pinch myself as a reminder that he really is a Blazer. We are just so fortunate to have him here in Rip City. And again, when that thing went down and they all took so much heat, I mean, Damian could have gone to management and said, listen, this is not right. This is not working out. This is not meant to be. I'd like to go someplace else. It's not what he did. He said, put it on me. Put it on my shoulders. Let's make this thing work. I'm not going to abandon the fight. I'm not leaving. I want to win, and I want to win right here, especially after what happened. I'm not looking for a way out. I'm not looking to attach myself to somebody else's train. I want to do it right here. D-Rod2203 tweets, I'm taking Dame over Russ any day of the week. Dude is a natural leader. I mean, how can you dispute that point? Who wouldn't? Nothing against Russ. Russ is an amazing player. Russ is an MVP. Russ is a Hall of Famer. But I'm taking Dame over Russ every day of the week for all the reasons mentioned. At East Bay Troy tweets, nobody better than Dame with his attitude and professionalism to rep the East Bay. You can't get in his head, ever. It's Sean Beasy tweets, great interview with future Laker Damian Lillard. We're having legitimate playoff games back at Staples Center next season. Yeah, bro, I'm sure you probably hope so. I'm sure you do want that. I wouldn't get your hopes up. Casey in New Hampshire tweets, that was a bad interview. Signed, Paul George.
It's a bad shot. I don't care what anybody says. That's a bad
interview.
Shot.
I don't care what anybody says. It's a bad interview.
It's a bad shot.
It's a bad interview, man. It's a bad interview. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what Rome says. That's a bad interview.
Bad shot.
That actually was one of the best interviews. That was one of the best shots, and that was one of the best interviews.
Bad shot.
I don't care what Paul George says. Yeah, it might have been a bad shot for anybody not named Dame or not named Steph.
Mr. Bad shot.
But again, my favorite part about Paul George saying that's a bad shot.
Bad shot.
Is he plays with Mr. Bad Shot. He's playing with a guy who couldn't make a shot. But he's going to call that a bad shot. You mean the one he knocked down in your face to walk off on? That bad shot?
Bad shot.
Dear Jim, you seem to know a lot about sports. Can you just tell me which players that I should draft? Thanks, Chunky. Casey in New Hampshire. War Chunk. Following his strict Subway diet of nothing but meatball subs. Y'all kind of miss Jared, don't you? Man, Jared had a good life, didn't he? Man, my man had the best life. When we return, Derrick Henry joins us. Titans running back Derrick Henry. And then after that, we are wide open. Trailblazer fan, I know you're still buzzed after that win. How could you not be? And you got to be high after hearing the interview with Damian Lillard. He is so locked in right now. He is so focused. All of that is still ahead. In addition to that, the Rockets took care of their business. Golden State did not. 1-800-636-8686. Again, the Rockets had a big night last night. They won their game. They won their series. They earned some more rest. That night could not have gone any better for the Rockets. And then on top of that, they saw Golden State go out and get beaten by the Clippers. And now they've got to get on a plane, come back to L.A., and deal with the Clippers here. So they had a really good night. As I'm efforting Derrick Henry, I think I'll try a phone call or two. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Orion in Waterford. Hey, Orion, what's up? How are you?
Do you suffer from moderate to severe smacklessness syndrome? Do you wish the good callers would call in more than twice a year or when you've checked out during a guest host? Well, suffer no more. Prescription Strength Smack Off is here. Prescription Strength Smack Off alleviates those feelings that most callers are absolutely atrocious while simultaneously feeding good takes directly into your earballs from your radio. Ask your doctor if Prescription Strength Smack Off is right for you. Side effects may include false sense of confidence that you can do this too, garbage golden ticket acquisition attempts, Matt in L.A., complete cerebral implosion, and some listeners have reported an itchy rash associated with an allergic reaction to the pretentiousness of Mike and Indy. Prescription Strength Smack Off isn't right for everybody, but it's right for me. Prescription Strength Smack Off is a registered trademark of Jim Rome Incorporated, not to be utilized with any actual prescription drugs, void where prohibited.
It was different. Orion, Smack Off pills. Whatever it takes, the Smack Off is June 21st, the 25th version. You mentioned Mike and Indy. Where is Mikey? Where is Mikey? Yo, Mike, where are you at? Today is the fifth anniversary of a very special day. Why don't we talk about that for a minute as I'm looking for Derrick Henry. The fifth anniversary of Self-Gloss Day. And a number of you are all about that. So in that sense, it's a pretty important day in the jungle. Not to me, of course. Not to me at all. But it is for many of you because I see what you're doing on Twitter. But after thinking about it for a while, which I did, I gave this considerable thought. I think that I'm going to reset the day. I'll reset the anniversary that you're all celebrating. You know, the rare time where I actually do for you clones. Because sometimes it is good to go back in order to move forward. And every day this show does add new listeners who could use a history lesson on why we do what we do and why we don't do certain things around here. Certain things that y'all want me to do. Now, if you have listened to this program for any period of time, you know there's only a few rules. A few very simple rules. Have a take, don't suck. Like literally the first rule of the show ever. Personal appearance is not allowed. Personal appearance is not show fodder. You can't come on this program and crack on people for how they look. It's too easy. It's too juvenile. It's too sophomoric. No bum smack. I do not allow that. I mean, these are all things that should not be written down, right? They should be self-evident. Also, no self-glossing. You can't come around here and give yourself a handle or a nickname. You have to earn it. The jungle decides whether or not you deserve any kind of gloss, any kind of handle. If you try to do it yourself, you're going to get hammered. And then you'll join a very exclusive club of fellow self-glossers who went through the LT wood chipper. However, and I'm a great guy like this, I do make exceptions. I throw you a bone every once in a while. I do this. And 5 years ago today, April 25th, 2014, I did allow self-glossing for one single segment. It's an anniversary that was brought to my attention early today on Twitter. And you know what? I think that I will do for you once again. I will reset it for a couple of reasons. The first reason being so you can all understand why it is not allowed. The second reason being, so you can see how the segment came to light 5 years ago. Because it was actually pretty organic. It was unplanned. Now, depending on how long you've been listening, you might remember the famous jungle beef. The feud back in the day between Bodie and Pearland in Israel in L.A. These two dudes were going back and forth, trying to win a TV before Bodie ripped it. With this legendary choke job, literally.
Come strong, Israel, because your ass in a war. Well, Dog, man, I almost choked on my spit. That rapping game is hard, dog.
Now, the choking part of that call has gotten all the run ever since. The choking part of that call won him that TV. He said, come hard, Israel, because your ass is in.
Dog, man, I almost choked on my spit. That rapping game is hard, dog.
That rapping game is hard, dog. But on April 25th, 2014, Eric, near Canadian Falls, sent in an email and reset a different part of Bodie's beef with Israel. And here's a tape of me reading that email 5 years ago today.
What'd it do, Rome? Come strong English language, cause your ass in a war. Redneckingly yours, Bodie. Eric, near the Canadian Falls, red wine drinker, wore self-gloss day in the jungle. Hey, now that's interesting. Nobody's ever said that before. He wore a self-gloss day in the jungle. It's actually not a bad idea. I'm going to think about that, Eric.
So, Eric, near the Canadian Falls, took a run at Bodie for his English-speaking skills and then just happened to wore a self-gloss day in the jungle. And strangely enough, I mean, like, I'm listening back and I can't believe I did that. I gave it consideration. Then I put it to a vote on Twitter. I thumbed it out. Self-gloss segment, yes or no? And the response obviously was an overwhelming yes, like we all knew it would be. So I paid it off. I mean, I'm not going to dangle that carrot and not make good on it. So I did. And that was 5 years ago today. And that's why everybody on Twitter is rushing in to remind me of it to try to get me to do it once again. So why don't we go back? Why don't we go back and let's see how that went in the event that you don't remember or maybe you weren't here. Because believe it or not, there are actually, and this is counterintuitive, if not hypocritical, but there are some self-glosses from that day that stuck. Like, I know I said there's no such thing or self-glossing is not allowed, yet amazingly, and understand what I said. I said the jungle would bestow a handle or self-gloss upon you. A couple were good enough that the jungle did just that. There was some self-glosses spit 5 years ago that somehow did stick. Like the very first one from that segment a half decade ago. Do you remember this, moron?
We go to Brentwood. Hi, who is this?
Slash.
Slash? Why Slash?
Oh, Slash, because, well, before Cordell Stewart in 94, I sliced my wife and her boyfriend's neck.
That's
not a good call. No.
That's when that whole thing started. The Slash thing. That was the first time any of us had heard from Slash from Brentwood. Ever since then, Slash has picked up the phone. He made a call to the program just about every single time O.J. Simpson is back in the news. Alvin, would you run that back one more time for me? This is what this guy did. Slash in Brentwood. Like, I kind of had an inkling what he might be going for, but I had to ask to make sure.
We go to Brentwood. Hi, who is this?
Slash.
Slash? Why Slash?
Oh, Slash, because, well, before Cordell Stewart in 94, I sliced my wife and her boyfriend's neck.
That's not a good call. No.
I sliced my wife and her boyfriend's necks. That's why I'm Slash in Brentwood. Anyway, every time Oge's in the news, that guy shows up, which is way too often. But now you know where that came from. Then there was this tool from Kansas City with an all-time groaner. All-time cringeworthy phone call in an attempt to get himself racked.
Kansas City, hi, who is this?
Hey, this is Bobby Brisket from Kansas City, baby.
Bobby Brisket, what's up? Where'd you get that nickname?
Well, Rome, I got to tell you what. Just like all this barbecue in Kansas City, you're going to have to put this on the rack.
Okay.
Good one, Bob Tri-Tip, baby. I don't know where the buzzer was. I don't know how that guy didn't get run. I think we were all blown away by just how stupid it was. And we're in shock. And didn't do anything about it. Then there was the... Then there was this one. So I'm efforting Derrick Henry. I'm trying to find a place to put him right now. And see, because we're up against the end of the segment, I would rather hold him over if possible to do the full interview. Then there was the Frosty Sasquatch self-gloss, which I actually can't play back on the radio. You can go ahead and try and decode that yourself. But I bring it up because Mike in Indy mentioned him in his own self-gloss call in the very same segment.
Indy, what's cracking? Who is this?
This is Mike in Indy, but they call me Mikey de la Creme because the creme always rises to the top. But honestly, I was going to go with Frosty Sasquatch, but that's been taken. The NBA playoffs here, I'm getting kind of sick of these Drake commercials.
Mikey DLC, Mikey de la Creme, because the cream raises to the top. Another self-gloss that stuck. I mean, I'll give Mike this. Mike is one of the best to ever do it. It's just a shame that the only way I hear from this guy is to reset five-year-old calls. Where you at, DLC? Don't be a stranger, kid. Less than 2 months until the smack-off, DLC. Where you at, dude? Where are you? One guy that I'm not actively trying to hunt down, though, is the Knob from Houston, who last I heard from 5 years ago to this day when he did this.
Houston, hello. Hi, who's this?
Hey, this is the Crystal Methodist.
Crystal Methodist. I like that. Where'd that come from?
Well, I used to sling meth in the parking lots of Methodist churches, and I found they were the best customers.
Slinging ice to churchgoers. Now you're done, Crystal Methodist in H-Town. And now I'm done resetting that segment from 5 years ago. There you are, clones. The five-year anniversary of Self-Gloss Friday. What did we get from that? Slash in Brentwood. Crystal Methodist. Bobby Brisket. Mikey DLC. So hope you enjoyed that reset. Hope that was enough for you. Now, I know for some of you it's not, and you so badly want me to bring back the entire segment. I'm not going to. Don't ask. But I will meet you in the middle. I will meet you in the middle. I will send out an official search party for a guy that you've all been looking for a long, long time. Remember this dude, Seth from Toronto. He self-glossed back in October of 2016. Do you remember this guy?
Seth in Toronto. Hey, Seth, how are you?
Hey, Jim. First time, long time. But we got to go with my real name, the Zookeeper.
Oh, dude, awesome. Zookeeper, good gloss. Where did that come from?
At a buddy's wedding.
Because I care where that came from.
You hear me say, I don't care where that came from. But almost all of you do. He has been the highlight of the self-glossers montage ever since he went in. Every time I play that montage, the tweets and the emails all come flying in asking me to find this guy. Everybody wants to know the story behind the handle. I'm pretty sure we already know what the story is behind that handle. The Zookeeper handle. I think we all know, right? But you still want to hear from the guy. Hey, what the hell? Hey, Zookeeper. I'll give them something. I'll meet halfway. Go ahead and call the show. Now, don't pretend to be this guy. We've got him on tape. We know who he is. We have technology. We know where the calls come from. Don't call me and pretend to be this guy. But if you're the actual Zookeeper, give us a call and let us know why you have that gloss, and I'll think about taking it. We move Derrick Henry to next segment. Wait for that. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. Derrick Henry joins us next.